This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Design changes for Boeing. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Tuesday, March 12. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The FAA wants Boeing to accelerate software changes after the second fatal crash of its 737 MAX. Meanwhile, more countries are grounding the aircraft.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is not interested in impeaching President Trump unless there's overwhelming evidence.
The White House has released a $4.7 trillion budget for fiscal year 2020. We'll have details.
And food deliveries from cooler-sized robots that meet you at the curb.
It's like college campuses, corporate campuses, which are make sense. I mean, a lot of people on a college campus order food, and so, you know, they look like little coolers like you would roll to the beach, but they've got the same sort of gear that a self-driving car would in terms of cameras and radars, and so they'll stop for pedestrians, and they make their way across intersections.
Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Colias on the newest in food delivery technology. The Federal Aviation Administration wants Boeing to implement design changes by next month that have been in the works for months for the 737 MAX 8 fleet. Those design changes came into play after a fatal crash in October in Indonesia and arose again after Sunday's crash of the same model jet in Ethiopia, also with fatal results. However, the FAA said the plane was airworthy and did not need to be grounded. Oregon Congressman Peter DeFazio is chair of the House Transportation Committee.
I would think twice about getting on the plane, truthfully. I'm not going to be dishonest here. The initial data is eerily similar to Indonesia in terms of the unusual climb and the dive and that.
An Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX 8 bound for Nairobi crashed minutes after takeoff from Ethiopia Sunday, killing all 157 on board. Boeing says for several months it's been developing a flight control software enhancement. Boeing shares, by the way, fell as much as 10% on the prospect that two such crashes in such a short time could reveal flaws in its new plane. Australia, Singapore, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina have joined other countries like China in grounding the MAX 8. The airplane model is the same. Some key circumstances are remarkably similar, and the outcome was equally tragic. It's no wonder, then, that a number of questions are being raised about the safety of Boeing's 737 MAX 8 aircraft. The accident drew immediate parallels to the October crash of a Lion Air plane in Indonesia that killed 189. But experts warn that doesn't mean the reasons they plummeted were the same. More from Jorge Ortiz, staff reporter at USA Today. Jorge, explain.
Some of the characteristics of the crash were very similar. You know, shortly after takeoff, the pilots run into a problem. They try to return to the airport, and they can't make it. And in the case of Lion Air in Indonesia, they haven't ascertained the cause, but one of the areas they're looking at is a problem with the automatic flight control that caused the plane. The plane's nose to go down, and then the plane ended up nosediving into the sea. And so, one of the scary aspects of this crash is that the nosedive was so steep that, you know, there was barely any recognizable pieces of fuselage left. You know, most of the stuff was just broken apart into just a million pieces. And so, tells you that the plane crashed at a tremendous amount of speed, and they don't know why yet. They don't know if that's the same reason, but because of some of the similarities, there's an initial connection there. Now, experts warn you, don't jump to a conclusion yet. You know, there needs to be a thorough investigation about this. But those two characteristics, provide a strong link, and it's scaring people away.
Why is there's at least one person in your story saying you can't blame Boeing just yet? How come?
Because it's too early. Because you need to find out what were the factors involved. You know, you look at the debris field. You look at, you know, I think that you recovered the black boxes, so you analyze that information. They look at a lot of different factors to determine what the cause was. I mean, the Lion Air crash was 4.5 months ago, and they still haven't officially determined a cause. So these things take a lot of time, and we don't know yet what the cause was. That's why, you know, the people I spoke with, the experts say, don't jump to a conclusion yet. You know, now, there are some suspicious developments. You know, not suspicious in the sense of terrorism, but just, you know, just that connection between the two. But it's way too early to make that determination.
We're speaking with Jorge Ortiz, staff reporter at USA Today, talking about questions raised regarding safety for that Boeing 737 MAX that went down in Ethiopia over the weekend. You wrote that Boeing did not take the costly step of retraining pilots on a new feature of the flight control system when it introduced this this MAX 8 in 2017. What's the significance of that?
Well, they argue that the plane is similar enough to some of the other 737 models that the pilots should be able to know what to do in a case an emergency like this develops where there's a malfunction in the flight control system. But if I'm the pilot, I want to know every single new development on a plane. I want to know any little change because it could affect, you know, what happens with the plane and the lives of lots of people, including, you know, my own as a pilot. So I think, you know, they save some money by not doing the retraining because that can be expensive. But is there a connection between that and these crashes? You start to wonder now, particularly, you know, that first one, there seems to be a connection. And, you know, right after that, Boeing did send out an advisory reminding the pilots, this is how, you know, you disengage that system. But clearly those pilots, of the Lion Air pilots, did not know about it. Now, one thing that should be pointed out is that the Lion Air plane had, there had been some reports of maintenance issues on previous flights, where that's not the case with this plane. So that's why it's not right to jump to a conclusion right away, because there could be other factors involved. You know, some of the people I spoke with said it's never one thing that causes a plane to crash. It's always a series of things. So we don't know what those series of things are yet.
Thanks, Jorge. Jorge Ortiz, staff reporter at USA Today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's not for impeaching President Trump unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In an interview published yesterday in the Washington Post magazine, Ms. Pelosi says impeachment is so divisive, we shouldn't go down that path. House Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler also is cautious about moving forward with impeachment. While Ms. Pelosi has made objections to impeachment in the past, these were her most expansive remarks and likely to anger some liberal rank-and-file members of her party, most notably Michigan freshman Congresswoman Rashid Tlaib, who promised to impeach the mother effer during remarks in January. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Despite her opposition to impeachment, Mrs. Pelosi said Mr. Trump was unfit to be president ethically, intellectually, and curiosity-wise as part of that interview. However, she added that her own relationship with the president has been, quote, respectful of the office that he holds. It's 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
The White House has released a $4.7 trillion budget proposal that reduces spending on safety net and many discretionary government programs while boosting defense and border protection funding. The plan also projects a long run of continued deficits. With spending bills generally requiring bipartisan support and with Democrats now in control of the House after full Republican control of Congress for 2017 and 2018, the latest budget blueprint is likely to have limited influence, Acting White House Budget Director Russell Vought
He's not cutting Medicare in this budget. What we are doing is putting forward reforms that lower drug prices, that because Medicare pays a very large share of drug prices in this country, has the impact of finding savings.
The White House budget would cut non-defense discretionary spending next year, including emergency disaster aid, more than 9% from the fiscal year that ends September 30th. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Ford and U.S. aviation experts have joined the investigation into the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines jetliner that killed 157 people as questions grow about the new Boeing plane involved in the crash. The FAA arrived at the crash site with representatives from the National Transportation Safety Board to join an Ethiopian-led investigation. Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, is chairman of the House Transportation Committee.
I have no idea what happened in Ethiopia. It's a horrible tragedy, and I'm pushing the FAA to, you know, exert its proper oversight.
Boeing confirmed late yesterday it will deploy a software upgrade to the 737 MAX 8 a few hours after the FAA said it would mandate design changes in the aircraft by April. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is setting a high bar for impeachment of President Trump, saying he is just not worth it. Even as some on her left clamor to start proceedings, Pelosi said in an interview with the Washington Post that she's not for impeachment of Trump unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan because it divides the country. Oversight and Reform Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings agreed, saying impeachment has to be a bipartisan effort, and right now it's not there. Britain and the European Union have emerged from last-minute talks to announce they had finally removed the biggest roadblock to their Brexit divorce deal only hours before the UK Parliament was due to decide the fate of Prime Minister Theresa May's hard-won plan to leave the EU. British legislators will vote on May's latest plan today. The U.S. says it's pulling the remaining staff from its embassy in Venezuela, citing the deteriorating situation in the South American nation. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced the decision as Venezuela struggles to restore electricity following 4 days of blackouts around the country and a deepening political crisis. Well, this sounds like it could be quite the winner. A new augmented reality game based on Harry Potter books will hit app stores later this year. Harry Potter Wizards Unite is being developed by Niantic, the company behind the Pokemon Go mobile game. It will allow players to explore real-world surroundings while casting spells, solving mysteries, and interacting with a variety of the series' beloved characters.
I don't like the casting spells thing.
Oh, it's going to be big.
Yeah, because
this
you,
is going to be big.
Because you're not going to be able to prove it's real or not real if suddenly you run into a bad rut in life, you know?
You're in trouble.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Is this your house? Drawers overflowing with old bills and tax returns. Shoeboxes full of receipts. If this answer is yes, time to borrow the playbook of Marie Kondo to get organized. Kelly Grant at Acorns plus CNBC has a couple of steps that can help you figure out how to let go of unnecessary financial papers this time of year. Kelly, set this up.
Well, of course, it's tax time, so people are already in the process of, in a lot of cases, collecting a lot of these documents. And it can get overwhelming when you're looking at several years' worth of tax documents, trying to figure out, do I need these old credit card bills? Do I need these old utility bills? What do I save? What do I toss? And, you know, if I'm keeping it, where do I keep it? So we wanted to break that down and help people out with that.
All right. So you tap the knowledge of Marie Kondo, the organizational expert here. Taking a page from that playbook.
Her question is always, does it spark joy? And I don't think any of these financial papers are going to spark joy. So there's really a couple other questions you need to ask.
All right, like what?
What task are you going to need those papers for? What's the expiration date on that need? And how easy would it be to replace a document if you did get rid of it and then you suddenly determined you do need it?
All right. I just realized the other day I was going through old like tax filings. I go back to like, I think 2001 or two is probably as far back as I can go, but I never really know like how long to hang on to them. I've heard 6-7 years, but I guess are you ever fully in the clear with the IRS?
Well, you know, it's interesting because anytime I talk to people on this, it's like they always cite there's that, you know, statute of limitations for the IRS. In most cases, they've got, you know, depending on what they think they're accusing you of, sort of 3 to 7 years to be able to come back and ask questions. But then, you know, you have the tax preparers who say, well, you know, if you can have the space for it, it can't hurt to, you know, keep some of these. You know, and of course, when we say keep, you know, we're not necessarily talking paper. You could also scan them in and say, you know, I'm not going to keep the, like, file full of papers, but just to know that you have them if there ever happened to be a question.
All right. So, I mean, how do you do that? What's the best way to keep them that way?
To scan everything in?
Yeah.
Well, usually when we talk to folks about that, it's a matter of scanning them in and you're looking for some sort of a cloud-based service to hang on to them, ideally something that's, you know, encrypted, password protected, all of that. And that would be something like Dropbox or you know, Google Drive even would be two simple solutions. And there are plenty others of these sites and services out there that can help you. And that's a great way to create a backup for, you know, cabinets of paperwork that you know you should keep, but maybe you don't really need that important paper document. It's not something where you need it on paper format like you would the deed of your house or a social security card. And it can also be a great way to create a backup of important items like those deeds, social security cards, birth certificates, so that that way if something happens that, you know, you're away from home and you need it, that's great. Or say, you know, your home is damaged in some sort of a natural disaster and, you know, you don't have access. This would be a great way to make sure that you've got still all those papers you need.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant at Acorns plus CNBC. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they're applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, March 12. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. mandates that Boeing accelerate software updates to its 737 MAX 8. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi issues her strongest comments yet about not wanting to impeach President Trump. U.S. withdrawing remaining staff from the embassy in Venezuela. The White House releases its $4.7 trillion budget proposal. UFC star Conor McGregor arrested in Miami after police say he smashed and stole the phone of a fan trying to take his picture. And the 30th birthday for the World Wide Web. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Advisors help you maximize this year's budget and find the right business PC with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Food companies are experimenting with autonomous delivery to reduce the high costs and headaches of door-to-door service, but the robots aren't riding to the rescue anytime soon. That's not stopping investors and startups from trying to improve the technology. We're joined now by Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Colias in Detroit. He covers autos. Mike, set the current scene.
You know, the grocery stores and the restaurants have, I suppose, what you could call a good problem. I mean, they're seeing a big surge in demand for delivery services because of things like Uber Eats and Grubhub, Instacart. So their business is growing there, but the problem, you know, the downside is that that's an expensive way to get food to people, and it cuts into their margins. And so they're trying to figure that out as this becomes a bigger part of their business, how they control those costs. And I think one of the things they're looking to more on a medium to long-term basis is automation. So you know, there's kind of two different things we looked at. One is self-driving cars, which, you know, we've talked about in the past, and, you know, the applications that people like GM's Cruise or Google's Waymo are, they're mainly looking at robot taxis, but they're also looking at delivery. And, you know, they're trying to figure out how this would work if you're delivering a pizza to somebody. So Ford has been partnering with Domino's Pizza for the last couple years and have actually delivered over 1,000 pizzas to people who, you know, are sort of, I mean, they opt into the program, but they come out to the curb and an automated voice tells them where to pick up their pizza out of the rear compartment. So they're trying to figure out what the business strategy and sort of setup around this would look like. And then the other interesting one is these sidewalk robots that actually deliver a, you know, burrito to your front door.
Is that the group Starship is involved in?
Yeah, they're one of the startups. There's a handful of startups that are actually doing this, not just testing, but actually in market now. You know, it's like college campuses, corporate campuses, which are make sense. I mean, a lot of people on a college campus order food, and so, you know, they look like little coolers like you would roll to the beach, but they've got the same sort of gear that a self-driving car would in terms of cameras and radars, and so they'll stop for pedestrians and they make their way across intersections. And yeah, it's pretty wild to see if you've not come across one.
Man, so they're not banging into your ankles or hitting you from behind by accident if you're sharing a sidewalk with these things?
No, they're electric, slow speed, and very cautious. And you know, the companies are really going out of their way to make them look non-threatening. So, you know, some of them will actually even wink at someone going by, you know, those kind of, you know, cute things they can do to try to keep these things as non-threatening as possible. But, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I think both these applications, self-driving cars and the sidewalk robots, you know, they're not a quick solution for this delivery problem that the food company's having. This is going to be several years, I think, before this you see wide-scale adoption of these things.
But investors love it, right? I mean, money's pouring into this technology.
Yeah, there's a lot of money. You know, some of the sidewalk robot startups have you know, attracted tens of millions. One company that recently got $1 billion investment is a company called Nuro, and they kind of have it's sort of a halfway between the driverless car solution and a sidewalk robot. They make a pod-like vehicle that goes on streets, but only goes up to 25 miles an hour, and it only carries food and other stuff. And it's made to, as opposed to your car, if you hit something, the occupants are going to be protected. This thing's made to just crumple if it hits anything because, you know, there's nothing inside of it that's living, and it wants to protect the things around it. So they've got a whole different approach to this. And yeah, I mean, but it just shows you how early on I think a lot of these business models are.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Colias in Detroit. He's written a piece entitled "Tonight's Dinner in a Cooler-Sized Robot That Knows Where You Live." So what if I know that you ordered something? Can I hoist your sandwich and drink out of there in addition to mine?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, especially when you're talking about a college campus, right? You've got to think about things like vandalism and people just messing with these things. So they are locked, and you do a lot of times you'll get a code texted to you when the thing's at your door, and you can open it that way. So they're secure in that sense. But I talked to one of the users in Berkeley, where a startup called Kiwi has a few dozen of these things on the sidewalks, and he said, "Yeah, you know, I'll see people, you know, chuck one of these into a bush every once in a while." But it's kind of interesting. He said there's sort of been this community that sprung up around the robots, and anytime someone does mess with them in that sense, people usually, you know, will pluck it out of the bush and send it on its way. Wow. It's almost like the public's looking out for these things.
Defenders of the coolers. Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Colias, who also reports, by the way, that McKinsey & Company says food companies are betting that such automation can reduce delivery costs by as much as 40% while also helping ease a shortage of delivery drivers. You still have to get used to curbside delivery, by the way, instead of delivery to your door. It's 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if there's a positive side to living in a small apartment in New York City and paying through the nose to do it, it's that your energy bills should be relatively small. You can imagine one man's surprise then when he received an electric bill for last month for his Queens apartment that totaled nearly $38 million.
Oh, man.
The man named Tommy Straub took his frustrations to Twitter yesterday, first tweeting directly at Con Edison, writing, "I own a 600-square-foot apartment in Astoria, Queens. I do not own the entirety of Manhattan Island. This is insane. Fix it." Straub then tweeted screenshots of his interactions with Con Ed on Twitter, which didn't go particularly well, capturing the shots with, "This is top-notch service right here." A Con Ed spokesperson told the Daily News that they are looking into the issue, saying that it is most likely a computer error.
Most likely, yeah.
I guess, well, you know, they have to investigate first, right?
It's a 600-square-foot apartment. Like, how many lights can he turn on for the entirety of a month to roll up $38 million worth of charges?
I mean, you know, and obviously he would never be, you know, no one would think they'd be expected to pay $38 million, but we've talked about this before. This kind of thing can mess up your credit, you know, if they don't jump in, if they try and dispute it somehow, or they don't fix it in time. Like, you know, till the next billing cycle comes or something, this can definitely have some repercussions because you're obviously not going to pay them that kind of money.
I think to share his frustration, the lack of a simple fix.
Right.
Right. Because he probably called, got put on hold for forever, didn't have time to continue to wait on hold, went to social media, then got some snarky response probably.
Right.
And then it's still not resolved. You know, we just need to remove some zeros here, I presume, and it will be done.
We have to
and
do
the fact
some
that investigating. It's not so simple is just frustrating.
Right, right. And of course, as we've seen, people now go to social media for these kind of things, and then they finally start to get a little bit of a response.
Yeah.
So it seems like social media is the place to go if you want to cause a little bit of a ruckus over these kind of things. And Lent is here, Gordon, which means that a lot of people are giving up things for the season, and alcohol is often one of those things. But one man is turning that on its side by giving up everything except beer. Del Hall, who works at a brewery in Dayton, Ohio, says he will not eat or drink anything except beer for all 46 days of Lent. Hall says he was inspired by the monks from the 1600s who would make a special Bock beer for Lent. Hall told local TV that German monks, who were master brewers, decided they would take the Bock beer, make it extra hearty, and then that would be their liquid bread. Hall said he is altering the monks' tradition by including all types of beer in his fast. Hall's documenting his beer fast on his YouTube channel, where he said he's already starting to see weight loss from this unusual diet.
I can imagine.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah. If you're doing nothing but drinking beer,
that's something.
You would hope that at least be a positive side effect.
Wow, beer only for 46 days.
That's something for you to think about for next year.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more. Glad you're with us. Does your furry friend always beg for the last bite of table scraps? It might be time to get serious about putting the leftovers away. USA Today says the majority of cats and dogs in the U.S. are obese or overweight, a stat that has not budged in recent years. Even more troubling, the percentage of pets who are obese, defined as excessively overweight, is on the rise, according to the Association of Pet Obesity Prevention. As one vet explains, pet health is more complicated than just overeating or taking too many cat naps. Obesity in pets can be caused by poor lifestyle, hormonal imbalances, genetics, or bacteria in your pet's stomach and gut. The study also found that nearly 80%
The veterinarians and 68% of pet owners reported, quote, they had tried to help their pet lose weight using tactics such as reducing calories, increasing exercise, and introducing prescription weight loss diets. The biggest culprit, of course, for cats and dogs from shedding extra weight or shedding extra pounds is treats. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Boeing has confirmed it will deploy a software upgrade to the 737 MAX 8 a few hours after the FAA said it would mandate design changes in the aircraft by April. Boeing did not reference Sunday's Ethiopian Airlines crash in connection to the software upgrade, but the statement did express the company's condolences to the relatives of the 157 people who died. The Boeing statement comes as numerous countries, including China and Australia, ground the plane. President Trump has proposed a record $4.7 trillion budget, pushing the federal deficit past $1 trillion, but counting on optimistic growth, accounting shuffles, and steep domestic cuts to bring future spending into balance in 15 years. Acting White House Budget Director Russell Vogt says the president wants more than $8 billion for a border wall.
Federal resources and frontline defenders are overwhelmed at the southern border. And the fiscal year 2020 budget provides sizable funding of an $8.6 billion for full completion of the wall and other border security resources.
The proposal also calls for steep cuts in health care and economic support programs for the poor that Democrats and some Republicans will oppose. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calls his cuts cruel and short-sighted, a roadmap to a sicker, weaker America. Meanwhile, Pelosi was quoted as saying she is not in favor of impeaching President Trump, breaking from other Democrats who are eager to exercise their constitutional power to oust the president from office. In an interview with the Washington Post, Pelosi said Trump is just not worth it and that proceedings would divide the country. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was asked about Pelosi's comments.
I want to look at the Mueller report before I make a decision about whether I believe he should or should not be impeached.
Pelosi did leave some wiggle room to launch impeachment proceedings if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report reveals something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan. Today is the day you can get free pancakes at IHOP, but the chain hopes you'll feel compelled to make a charitable donation for those flapjacks. It's IHOP's 14th annual free pancake giveaway, which is limited to one short stack per person. At the same time, it's raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and Shriners Hospitals for Children. The goal is $4 million.
Nice touch. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. 30 years ago today, 33-year-old software engineer Tim Berners-Lee submitted a proposal to his boss that would set the technology world on fire and usher in the information age. CNET.com reminds us that Mr. Berners-Lee was working at the European Organization for Nuclear Research outside Geneva in 1989 when he submitted Information Management, a proposal. It was a proposal to better manage and monitor the flow of research at the labs, but within its pages were the underpinnings for what would become known as the World Wide Web. Google, which was made possible by the invention, today marked the technology milestone with an animated doodle featuring pixelated letters reminiscent of the crude block graphics that were common on early web pages. Mr. Berners-Lee proposal contained the basic concepts of the web, including ideas like HTML, URL, and HTTP, but it would be another couple of years before he could actually demonstrate his idea. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.